Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, animal cruelty, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Hamburgers, fast, fresh, and delivered directly to your hood. I'm Andy.
Staying safe out on the road is as easy as A, B, C. I'm Adam.
11'8", you say? Eh, I think I could make it. I'm Kelly.
10'4", good buddy. I was out here riding boogie with some shutter trouble when I saw some alligators with some Schneider eggs around them. Lucky for me, there's no meat wagon today. I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop. Hello everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about semi-trucks, aka big rigs, aka 18-wheelers, aka lorries.
You can't see it, Ned. I'm doing the horn honking thing, and Adam won't honk for me.
I don't have a horn.
So the word semi comes from Latin semi, which means half. And this is basically used on semi-trucks because the truck can't carry much by itself and the trailer can't move by itself, so they're each half of a whole.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I always think it sounds like they should be itty-bitty.
Yeah, a little truck.
Yeah.
It's me semi-truck.
So truck comes from Latin trochus, meaning iron hoop.
Okay.
It's kind of a cool word, but it's basically just because it has wheels. That's the only connection.
Climb aboard the iron hoop.
Back when they used to transport everything by iron hoop.
Whoa.
Yeah, half hoop. Clunk. Oh.
Yeah, I made this iron C.
Get on board.
And I've always liked the British term lorry, so I tried to look up the origin for that, but no one really knows. There's a couple of theories, though, and my favorite theory is that it comes from an old English word, lurry, which means to pull or drag.
Just like that British actor who was in House, Hugh Half-Truck.
I was in a class once, and we had a new student who was English, and we were talking about trucks, and she didn't know what we were talking about, and I got in trouble for explaining to her what a truck meant in America.
You got in trouble? Trouble? For
yep.
What?
How was that against the rules?
Well, I was talking during class.
Oh, I thought you took away her truck evidence.
I thought it was a closely guarded American secret.
Don't tell them about the pickups.
There is actually a fear of semi-trucks. It is semi-ocophobia.
Promoted by Stephen King.
I feel like anyone who's had to drive through the middle of the country and share the freeway with a semi-truck legitimately has this fear because they are scary.
Yeah, they don't care.
I've done plenty of those drives and I feel more comfortable with them, honestly.
Really? See, but that's a story for the end of the episode.
I have had positive and negative experiences. I will share later.
Semi is just from semi, and then ocophobia is the fear of cars. So semi-ocophobia is just somewhat of a car fear.
Fear of sort of cars.
The semi-car. I have a sort of car fear.
And I'm not going to go into the science of how semi-trucks work, because they're just big and they move heavy stuff. And that's about as complicated as it gets.
There's concentrated explosions and wheels.
Can you explain the internal combustion engine to me real quick?
No. Moving on.
Just real quick.
So we're moving on to our acid pop quiz. So we'll start with true or false. So true or false, truckers are paid by the mile.
I feel like that's false.
On the back of trucks, I feel like.
Maybe it's a true false. He's trying to trick us.
Yeah, I feel like it might depend on the company, but I think being paid by the mile makes the most sense.
Yeah, I'm going to say true.
Andy got it. It is mostly false. Some drivers are paid based on time, but most are paid a flat rate for a delivery. So they're basically like, you come and pick this up. We will pay you when you drop it off here. So this fact leads drivers to push to make unreasonably good time, leading to fatigue and increased chances of an accident.
It's like the difference between driving in a taxi where they're paid by a mile and where they're paid by the trip.
But true or false, truck drivers are not allowed to drive more than 8 hours per day.
That sounds false. I feel like I just watched a YouTube video where the guy was like, I got to sleep, and he's radioing in, and the company's going, no, sir.
Well, no, I saw some of those recently, too, but like they're not like supposed to, but their dispatchers will sometimes tell them differently. But I don't know if it's 8 hours.
No, I'm going
to
say false.
I'm going false.
True.
Yep, it is false. Drivers are not allowed to drive more than 11 hours a day.
I thought it seemed a little short.
Oh, that's a lot of driving.
Yeah, that is a long time.
I've driven further.
Yeah, but have you driven further every day for a month?
I'm going to say yes, and you have no way to prove me wrong.
So true or false, truck drivers cannot speed.
I mean, they can if they wanted to.
Yeah, if they could get up to speed.
Can they?
But there's all those signs going through California where it's like, truck drivers do not go more than 55. We are watching you. So I'm going to say that's true.
I'm going to say that's false.
They have an engine and a gas pedal. I'm sure they can speed.
This is false in America, but in most of Europe, it is true. The engines in European lorries, I guess, are manufactured to not exceed 56 miles per hour or 90 kilometers per hour. So they physically cannot go faster than that.
Oh, weird.
Still speed on city streets.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it depends on the street.
Many people want to enforce this in America, but there's some pushback, obviously, because we like to go fast.
Gotta go fast.
Yep.
It's just the government trying to take away our speed.
They did it to housewives, and now they're doing it to truckers.
And that concludes our true false. So, fill in the blank. How many gallons of gas can a semi hold?
I don't even know how many gallons of gas my car can hold.
Okay, so...
Well, mine, for example, holds 9. Kelly, your dad, he has a big-ass truck, and his holds 35, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was about to say, I feel like when my parents were driving a motorhome, when we filled up, it would cost something like $300. So I'm going to say something like 100 gallons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be up there.
I'm going to say more. I'm going to say like 120.
Ooh.
I'm going to say 90.
The correct answer is up to 400 gallons.
Goodness.
Oh, Jesus.
So that is 1,514 liters of petrol. And yeah, so if you had a 400 gallon tank, if you got $3 per gallon, that would be $1,200 to fill up your gas Goodness. Tank from empty to full.
I don't wanna.
Yeah.
You could go swimming in it.
You get paid well.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I don't have a question about this, but most of the reading I did said that these trucks get on average 4 to 6 miles per gallon. So if you assume
highway or city,
well, I guess it's 4 city, 6 highway, but if you're a pessimist and you say 4 miles per gallon and you pay $4 a gallon for gas, then you're basically paying $1 a mile for every mile that you travel.
Is that the cost of diesel right now?
No, it's not. I'm just making those numbers up, but it's not too far off. So next question, how many gears can a semi have?
Oh, it's a bunch.
It is a bunch. Maybe 3.
32.
That is the coolest fucking crankshaft. Like,
sounds like a transformer.
You need a co-pilot to take over after gear 16.
How many gears does a regular car have?
5 or 6.
Okay.
Sometimes 7.
I'm going to lower my answer.
31.
I'm going to say that they have 4.
I'm going to say 16.
I'm going to go between you two and say 10.
Adam's the closest without going over. It is up to 18 gears.
That is, I was going to say 18, but then I started thinking, that's just the number
wheel?
Of tires.
There. Yeah. Yeah, they have to engage each wheel individually.
That sounds complicated.
There's a button for each of them. Now we're playing Simon.
How fast does wind have to blow to tip over a semi?
Oh, well, God. I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to say gusts of up to 80 miles per hour.
Okay.
I think less than that. It's a lot of surface area there.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 60.
Been out on some pretty windy days and never seen like a semi in front of me rolling like a tumbleweed.
He was delivering tumbleweeds.
I'll go with 90. I'll be high.
So for an empty rig, Adam nailed it right on the head. It is 60 miles per hour. Yeah. Which is 96 kilometers per hour. This is something that we've talked about before with trains, but how many deaths per billion miles of travel do semis cause?
I don't suppose you remember what it was for trains.
I can tell you, when we were talking about trains were 0.2, planes are 0.5, and cars are 12.
I'm going to say it's a little lower than cars. Let's go with 10.
I'll say 9.
I think it's higher than cars. I'm going to say 15.
Well, Kelly's the closest without going over. It is, in fact, 36.
Ah.
So 3 times worse than cars.
They're big.
Yeah. The thing about car accidents is, you know, if 2 cars hit each other, it's not really a guarantee that someone's going to die. But if a semi hits something, something's probably going to die.
Yeah, but trains and planes are bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're so safe.
But they don't, like, trains, all you got to do is stay off the tracks. And planes, there's not much to hit in the sky.
Stay off the tracks, the plane tracks.
And then for our last part here, I just found some funny sounding trucker terms that no truckers probably use, but they were on a website, so I picked them up.
Perfect.
So what does alligator mean?
Well, it's this big reptile.
Uh-huh. Where do semis come in?
Sometimes like they transport them on semis.
Alligator is, oh, it's when one of your tires pops, but it like does that unfurling thing. So it looks like an alligator on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
It's when 2 truckers coordinate over their radios to go on either side of a car that's in the middle lane.
Yeah. Like the jaws of an alligator.
Yes.
I think it's the word they use for those car transporting trucks with all the big open mouth.
With all the alligators.
Yeah.
The ones that I'm terrified to drive behind.
Amazingly, Andy got it.
Oh, awesome.
If a large piece of a blown tire is lying on the ground, it looks kind of like an alligator. And if if a semi runs over these, it can fling up and tear apart hoses on the underside of the rig. So those are to be avoided.
Well, it's like that episode of Mythbusters where they're like, if a semi tire pops, can it take off your head?
Yeah.
The answer was yes.
So what is a boogie?
Still got that boogie.
It's a thing that gets stuck in my mustache.
Oh, dear.
A boogie is, it's like, they're not being very clever, but it's a cop that's on somebody's tail. And it's like, we can't say bogey. Hell no. It's a boogie.
I was going to say something similar. That's a cop that's hiding along the side of the road, and they tell you to watch out for the boogeyman.
Oh, because it pop out.
He's waiting to pop out and scare you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the speed you go when you're on a deadline and need to.
Ooh,
it's when you're really racing. You're boogieing.
Yeah. Yeah. Boogie.
Boogie is, in fact, the highest gear. So
yeah, I feel sense. Like I was close.
Yeah, not bad. So 18th gear is your boogie gear.
You got to kick it into boogie gear.
Oh, yeah.
Lights along the truck.
Crank it up to boogie. What is shutter trouble?
It's when the back of the truck won't close, or if it's open or something.
Don't engines have like shutters? I'm going to say it's like an engine, a piston problem.
That sounds like a car thing.
I'm going to say that's when the cops are after you.
Yeah. No, shutter trouble is when you're having trouble staying awake. So your eyes won't stay open.
10-4.
Got to get them blinds replaced.
What is the meat wagon?
The meat wagon is a truck that just left the meat shop.
It's an 18-wheel. It's an 18-wheel serial killer that we haven't caught yet.
Wanted across all 50 states. Meat wagon. Yeah, I'm just gonna say it's a cold truck that transports meat.
Alternatively, a twisted metal character.
I feel like it's close to Andy's, but I'm thinking like the trucks that are transporting livestock.
Yeah. Well, you guys were so restrained in your answers. The meat wagon is an ambulance.
My serial killer answer was restrained. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a guy that's transporting dudes with that they're naked. Their penis is flopping everywhere.
No, the meat wagon is the ambulance.
Oh.
No, I was going to guess that, but I thought it was too obvious. Correct.
Well, these were invented by truckers. So what are Schneider eggs?
Schneider eggs?
Yep.
I'm going to say those are the bottles that they pee into and throw out the window.
Take that, Rob Schneider. Schneider eggs are when you hide your copy of The Animal above a toilet in a truck stop and somebody else can pick it up like, ooh, I love The Animal.
It's like a little trucker time capsule.
Yeah, full of Rob Schneider films.
Oh, perfect. It's all the empty energy drinks they keep around their cab.
Yeah. Now, Schneider eggs are orange road cones.
Why?
Yeah, it's kind of a long thing. It's like the American equivalent to a Cockney rhyme sort of thing. But
yeah.
I guess the original company that made those was a company called Schneider. Mm-hmm. And the original ones were those like sort of oval ones that were kind of wider in the middle. So they kind of looked like eggs. Huh. They don't look like that much anymore. But yeah, Schneider eggs.
Kind of like road cone shorter.
Yeah, not as much fun to say. And that's all the pop quiz that I had. So now we're going to talk about some stories involving semi-trucks. And man, let me tell you what, at 35 or whatever I said, 36 deaths per billion miles traveled, there are a lot of stories. So how about you guys just name something you can think of awful that might happen with a semi, and I'll see if I've got some stories about that.
Goes off a cliff and crushes a child.
Okay, let's start there.
Oh, no.
Records here.
So we'll start with the category driving off bridges. July 8th, 2016, in Bothell, Washington, Alan Mooney was taking an exit when he lost control for unknown reasons and crashed through a guardrail of an on-ramp and plunged 60 feet or 20 meters before smashing upside down on the freeway below.
Oof.
Needless to say, the driver was killed instantly. And in the images for this, it looks like somebody like chopped off everything above the wheels and then turned it upside down. Like there's just like nothing left.
Oh, but was he transporting precious cargo?
I don't remember what it was. And on January 12th, 2018, in Sugar Land, Texas.
Nothing bad could have happened there.
Nope.
Well, it's just outside, so. An erratic SUV crashed into the back of a semi, causing it to jackknife. The semi then drove off an overpass and fell onto another car. Amazingly, no one was seriously injured in the accident.
Oh.
We have some pictures if you want to come to this site, and there basically is a semi lying on its side with a slight bump in the middle, and just under that bump, you can see a bumper sticking out.
I was just picturing if it lands right, like if it hits four cars, it could wear them like roller skates.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Yep.
Keep driving.
It's going the opposite direction now, though.
All right, what else you got?
Semis that hit the supports on overpasses.
Oh, I didn't do that one.
Damn it.
How about cars getting smooshed between two semis?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the old alligator.
Yeah, definitely got that one. There were a couple stories on this. You know, the thing about semi-accidents, they're so frequent that news stations almost just report them because they have to. So most of the stories that I found were like, car crushed between two semis, man killed. And like, that's the whole story.
Oops.
But there was one good story about cars getting sandwiched between two semis. So
it's a lot of bread on that sandwich.
Yeah. So on January 31st, 2015, in Baker City, Oregon, Caleb Whitby was driving through a dense fog behind a semi when the semi started to behave erratically. Whitby tried to slow down, but discovered that the reason the semi was acting erratically is because they were both on a patch of black ice.
Oh.
The semi came to a stop, and Whitby slammed into the back of the semi. Once all the crunching had stopped, he looked into his mirror to see the headlights of a second semi. So he closed his eyes and prayed. Amazingly, not only did Whitby survive, the worst injury he had was a black eye.
Pulled from the wreckage by Pazuzu.
We have a picture of this, and I'm going to share it.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
It basically looks like he built a really crappy Transformer outfit.
It looks like he was in a very small cabinet on like a Ferris wheel and it dropped off and landed between two semis.
Yeah.
He was in the only like 2 foot wide column that was saved in the crash.
Yeah. In this picture, basically what happened was one of the semis was hit and he was around the back of the semi at an angle. And then the semi hit him, but didn't hit the semi. So he was like dragged between the two sides of the semis as they crunched together. And when everything came to a stop, the two semis were about 2 feet apart, and in that 2 feet was everything that was left of Whitby's truck and Whitby.
Good job, I guess.
Talk about experiences that would make you find Jesus.
Well, actually, it's kind of funny because Whitby was a very religious person.
And abandoned it immediately.
After the crash, people were like, oh man, are you okay? It's like, was that a revelation or a life-changing moment? He's like, well, no, I prayed to be okay, and then I was, so clearly God likes me.
Like, clearly.
Case closed.
That's why he took my truck.
Worked out exactly as I planned.
Yeah.
What about weird cargo spills?
Oh, that's a good one.
And that's what I was about to ask. Like a truck that was transporting a bunch of marbles across the freeway.
There's that bee truck.
Yeah.
Do you think that would be a problem?
I don't know.
Marbles or bees?
Bees are definitely a problem. So I ordered these in order from least to most strange that I felt. On July 14th, 2017, in Oregon, I couldn't get any more specific than that, a stretch of highway was transformed into a Lovecraft novel after a semi, unable to stop quickly enough, spilled its cargo of hagfish.
Oh, God, why was it transporting hagfish?
Somebody's got to.
Also called the slime eel, these pink lamprey-looking fish are common ingredients in eel skin wallets.
Okay.
We have a picture of this that I'm going to share.
I can only assume it looks like the inside of H.R. Giger's brain.
It looks like a prop from Ghostbusters.
Whoa.
They slime me.
That's so cool.
It almost looks kind of like spider webs in that one.
Oh, the super spooky ghost came through here.
The BFG was really horny on the freeway.
Oh, that car is not recoverable.
Yeah. Think of all the wallets you could make. So, on November 22nd in 2017, in Riverdale, Utah, a truck taking the on-ramp to the I-84 crashed into the side of the ramp, tipped, and spilled its cargo of live cows onto the I-15 below.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Once live cows?
No. Currently live cows. Well, at the moment, the truck tipped over anyway. So,
Moo?
Carrie Kofid was driving to work when suddenly a cow fell out of the sky in front of her. She slammed into the cow, both her airbags deployed, and then she spun to a stop. While no humans were seriously hurt, 25 cows were killed, though several did survive their 20-foot plunge off the overpass.
That was a hardy cow.
Yeah.
Then transported the rest of the way to the butcher's and eaten.
Pretty much.
Thank God you survived.
Chunk. So authorities said that this was remarkably similar to an accident that happened just a year before that killed 70 cows.
Wow. 70?
Yep. It was almost identical. Somebody was going up the I-84, crashed, tipped over, and spilled a bunch of cows onto the I-15 and killed 70 of them.
Cowpocalypse.
So apparently this just happens every once in a while. So as this is the story that Kelly mentioned, on April 7th in 2015 in Linwood, Washington, which is just up the road from us.
Yeah, we heard a lot about this at the time.
Yep. A semi-truck rolled over the median and spilled its cargo of 14 million bees.
Bees!
So beekeepers from all over the state were rushed in, and the freeway was shut down for several hours. Emergency services, news reporters, commuters, and the beekeepers were all stung to pieces as they tried to save all the bees they could and kill the ones they couldn't.
People running around with nets all over the place.
Yeah, basically.
I feel like once 14 million bees have been let loose, you just swing a net and you get several hundred.
Yeah.
When 14 million bees have been let loose, you abandon the region.
Yeah. Washington is dead to us.
Belongs to the bees now.
I mean, I'm sure there was a very good reason for this crash, but can you imagine how carefully you would be driving if you had 14 million bees with
like
you?
25 miles per hour the whole way with two tires like off on the median.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like they're angrier because they're in this thing that's making a lot of noise.
Yeah, they're pretty agitated bees. The day that this happened, I actually live south of Linwood and work north of it, and my dad does too, and I made it through just before this happened, and my dad couldn't make it to work that day because the freeway was shut down due to bees.
Looks weird on his time card.
A droning buzz behind him.
Yeah. It's just like the weather report's like, today's forecast, bees!
Bees!
No! And this is my favorite weird cargo. On January 29th in 2004 in Taipei, Taiwan, a 60-ton sperm whale that had been found beached not too far from the city, and the carcass was being loaded onto a semi and hauled to the Cheng Kung University for an autopsy. As the whale made its way down a busy street, the decomposing gases inside the whale caused it to explode. Showering cars, scooters, and commuters with blood and organs.
They kept going over like the speed bumps and stuff, and it just shook up everything inside the whale.
No, it was like a whale suicide bomber. They're done with us.
So the street was shut down for several hours as authorities brought in fire trucks to try and blast the streets clean.
That would be no other.
Yeah.
Never going to smell right there again.
No.
Again, with the people, I mean, you imagine getting delayed for work, like with the bees, like, you got to call your boss. They're not going to believe you.
Yeah.
Like, well, whale exploded.
Nobody would come up with that otherwise.
But imagine being a pedestrian right next to the whale.
Well, you know how in instances of like atomic bombs being dropped and they have the shadows of the people left, it's just going to be like that, except it's going to be the clean spots in the building.
All right. What else you got?
Anything about like smuggling or illegal substances being transported.
How about highway robbery?
Ooh, sounds fun. Can we do it?
I do.
I have four of these, and we're going to alternate between successful and unsuccessful. And this is going from least to most cool.
Road pirates.
Road pirates, exactly. July 31st, 2017 in the Netherlands. Five Romanian men have been arrested in connection with a series of robbers. The men would drive their van so close behind a semi traveling down the freeway that the driver couldn't see them. And the men could clamber onto the truck.
That's awesome.
The men would break open the trailer and toss the boxes back to the van before speeding off. While I couldn't find a total, the gang is suspected of succeeding in 17 heists. And in the heist before they were arrested, they made off with almost $600,000 worth of iPhones.
That's awesome.
Quit while you're ahead, guys.
Do you think they knew what they were getting any given time, or it was just like a crapshoot? They're like, oh, this is cabbages.
This one's full of bees.
help me.
Gotta take them.
Don't throw boxes anymore.
Please, no more bees.
So we'll get to a story about that a little bit later, actually.
I catch the first box, and now I cannot catch anymore.
Trying to shovel out armfuls of bees.
So in a similar but less successful story, three men on one motorcycle attempted to rob a speeding semi. The motorcycle approaches the back of the truck. One of the men then jumps off onto the back of the container. Almost immediately, the two remaining men crash their motorcycle.
Now I'm stuck on a semi.
The man left stranded on the truck weighs his options and decides to risk the road. He lowers himself gingerly down before tumbling away. There's a video of this entire escapade on our website if you'd like
probably
to watch
just wait until the next rest stop.
Were they planning to hijack it, or were they somehow going to load the stuff onto their motorcycle that already had three people on it?
They definitely
throw the boxes at the motorcycle.
Yeah, they definitely weren't going to hijack it, because the first thing they do before he jumped on the truck was they take out a pair of bolt cutters and snip the lock on the back. So they were trying to get in there, but what they were going to do once they got in there, I really couldn't say.
Do they have like a sidecar or like a little motorcycle trailer?
Oh, no. Nope. See, he lowers the ramp, and then they drive up in there.
Yeah.
Grab a few boxes, then drive back down.
That's grab one box. It was one motorcycle with three people on it already.
Yeah. Well, that's one guy's driving. You can carry two boxes.
Yeah, that's two sets of arms that can carry things.
That's true.
It's like 10 cabbages.
So this next story, I first heard about this from a teacher when I was in school, and I never looked into it because I didn't want to know if it wasn't true. But I finally did, and it turns out it is true, which makes me so very, very happy. On May 8th, 1999, in Sacramento, California, FBI agents have come forward and offered a $25,000 reward for information regarding a recent robbery that they have been unable to make any progress on. So on March 24th of that same year, a Loomis security big rig left Sacramento for San Francisco. When it arrived, the back of the truck was opened and found to have a 2-foot hole in the ceiling and no money. $2.3 million were taken, and the authorities have no idea how it was done or who did it.
Wow.
So wait, so are we saying that they cut in from the top and then went out the back, or vice versa?
The back was not open, so they went out the top.
Wow.
So while the cabs and sides of these trucks are armored, the roof is just thin aluminum.
Thin aluminum.
There's one eyewitness report that while the truck was stopped underneath an overpass, they saw someone jump onto the back of the truck. But that is the only lead as to what happened to this $2.3 million. So this was almost 20 years ago, and they still don't know what happened.
Well, that guy's pretty good at not spending all that money in one place.
No kidding.
Pretty damn cool.
Inside job. Driver did it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people thought that.
I'm sure they had very close eyes on him afterwards.
Well, there were three people in the cab, so it couldn't have been any of the men in the truck, but, you know, they could have, one of them could have arranged something with somebody else, but
that's true.
They never pinned it on anybody.
You'll never find me or catch me or anything.
And our final heist story. On December 5th in 2013 in Mexico City, Mexico, a truck had just left a local hospital when several armed men kicked the driver out and stole the big rig. The truck was found a short while later, but its back had been opened and its containers had been extracted. Unfortunately for the thieves, what the truck was hauling was cobalt-60, a highly radioactive element used in cancer treatments.
Oh no.
Oops.
The truck was on its way to a waste disposal center when it was ambushed.
Give us all your garbage.
What were they hoping for? Organs?
Well, they didn't know. They just hijacked a truck.
Yeah, but it was leaving a hospital.
I don't think they hijacked it at the hospital. But
I have reports that this is full of medical marijuana.
So authorities believe even short exposure to the amounts in the truck would be more than enough to be lethal, and strongly suspect that the thieves will soon be dead from radiation poisoning. All of the cobalt was successfully recovered and disposed of safely.
Oh, they found it all.
Yeah. Well, the thieves didn't take it once they opened it up and it started to burn their eyebrows off.
Anyone else got that warm feeling in their tummy?
Hey, I have an extra toe.
Anything else? I still got a few categories left. Well, how about we talk about decapitations?
Decapitation!
So we'll start with a decapitation that basically changed how semi-trailers are built. Jane Mansfield was a beloved Hollywood star in the 1950s and 60s.
I was going to say, that name sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah, she was sort of like another up-and-coming Marilyn Monroe.
And she lived happily ever after, correct?
Just like Marilyn Monroe.
Just like Marilyn Monroe. So on June 29th in 1967, Mansfield, her lawyer, and three of her five kids were driving back from a television appearance in Biloxi, Mississippi at about 2:30 in the morning when they entered a cloud of anti-mosquito fog.
What?
Yeah. So I had to look this up, but apparently in places where you have really dense mosquitoes, they basically aerosolize bug spray that's non-lethal to humans, but lethal to mosquitoes, and just spray the hell out of everything with it.
Do they do that still or just in the 50s?
I don't think they do it in the same quantities that they did then, but they do still do it. Unbeknownst to the occupants of the car, a tractor trailer was going much slower than them in the fog just ahead. We don't know how fast the car was going, but we do know that it didn't stop until it was completely under the trailer. As the authorities arrived, they found chunks of blonde hair still attached to the back of the trailer. While Mansfield and her lawyer were killed, the three kids survived with only minor injuries and
they
spent a horrific night trapped in the car with the what was left of their parents.
Oh, God.
So in response to public outcry, semis are now required to have that little guardrail that hangs down the back to stop cars from disappearing underneath them.
And they no longer just like put in a razor at the bottom.
Yeah. On April 8th in 2018 in Denver, Colorado, a truck heading east on Interstate 76 jackknifed for unknown reasons around midnight. Thomas Toth, his wife Christina, and their two daughters, aged 11 and 8, were killed when their truck plowed into and under the semi-trailer. The roof of the truck was completely ripped off, along with most of the heads of the occupants.
Most of them.
I'm trying to picture this one. The semi was jackknifed?
Yeah.
And so, then they hit it?
Well, I think what happened was it was a small freeway, and the semi turned sideways going down the road, and they were coming in the opposite direction.
Ah, okay, I see.
Give me the old head you do.
So, what do we got left here? Call back to our trains and semis story. Trains hitting semis is a surprisingly regular event. With just a bit of Googling, I found more than a dozen occurrences of this in the last month or so.
It's because there's a deadly rivalry.
So while expensive, these crashes are actually rarely fatal because it seems to be what happens is the truck stalls out on the tracks and then the driver makes a break for it and the train gently pushes its way through the truck. However, I did find one suitably horrible story. So on September 17th in 1963, a truck with a bed that had been converted into a series of benches to transport farm laborers to and from a vegetable patch was making its way home after a 10-hour shift when it crossed a train track that had no lights or signals.
Well, that's entrapment by the trains.
The truck was carrying 58 workers when it pulled onto the tracks directly in front of a freight train hauling 71 cars.
Full of babies.
So the conductor quickly applied the brakes, but the train had almost no time to slow down before it plowed into the truck at 61 miles per hour or 100 kilometers per hour. Of the 58 workers, 23 died instantly, 9 more died on the way to the hospital, and most of the remaining 26 people were seriously injured. This is considered one of the worst automobile accidents in U.S. history.
Well, I feel like if I saw train tracks with no signals, I might stop and look both ways.
Yeah.
You might not see them, though.
Yeah, they. The thing about trains is, you like, unless they honk their horn, you don't really hear them until they're already past. So if you don't look, then you don't really stand much of a chance.
They're ambush predators.
You attack from the sides by the two trains you didn't even know were there.
So we've also got trucks exploding. So on January 31st in 2018 in Cisco Grove, California, a tow truck traveling north on Highway 20 suddenly veered into the southbound lane where it crashed head-on into a tanker truck.
Oh!
In the resulting accident, 12,000 to 15,000 gallons of fuel exploded. Needless to say, if the crash didn't kill both drivers, the explosion did. And in the pictures of the aftermath, there's what looks like the bottom eighth of the shell of a tanker truck, and that's all that's left. And then, in an extraordinarily cool video that I highly recommend everybody go watch, on February 15th in 2018 in Beijing, China, a tanker carrying liquid petroleum gas suddenly sprung a leak. When the driver realized the problem, he put on his emergency blinkers and pulled over to the side of the road. Moments later, an impatient driver decides to try and drive through the spilled gasoline and quickly sets up about a quarter mile stretch of the road on fire.
This is bullshit. I'm going around.
There was the idiot car, and then the car behind the idiot car had a dash cam. And so we have video from that dash cam. And so basically this car's sitting there and the car in front of it's just like, man, screw this. And it starts to creep forward. Then it stops and then it explodes. So as
I was hoping you'd like drive away and fire would be like chasing him.
Well, it might have been, because as this fire goes up, the passengers of the car burst into tears. The driver throws the car in reverse and backs up the freeway. And as he backs up, he just passes line after line after line of trees that are going up like kindling.
God damn it.
And amazingly, no one was injured in this. Minor burns.
Wait, the people survived?
Yeah, yeah. They stayed in their cars.
Very
so
embarrassed.
Once the gas burned away, there wasn't much left to burn. So, yeah, everybody was okay. And our last story here is just sort of a silly little thing that happens to semis. In Durham, North Carolina, there is a bridge that has gained the nickname the Can Opener.
The Widowmaker.
This bridge is 11 feet 8 inches tall, or 3.55 meters, whereas most semis are 14 feet tall, or 4.2 meters.
I see.
Authorities have put up all kinds of signs and flashing lights and flags to warn people that this bridge is coming, but almost countless hapless truckers have ripped the tops off their trucks while trying to get under this bridge. In 2008, Jürgen Henn, who works in an office across the street, decided to mount a webcam, point it at the bridge, and start a website called 11foot8.com. Since he put up the cam, he's captured over 100 crashes and become something of an internet sensation. So the thing is, this bridge services a train, so you can't really raise the bridge without raising several miles of train tracks on either side of the bridge, and the road can't really be lowered because one of the city's main sewer lines runs just underneath the road. So for now, the bridge continues to claim about a victim a month. Though, as of yet, no one has died or been seriously injured by this bridge.
Can't they just put up one of those signs that donks you when you...
They have one.
They need to build a taller road that goes over the overpass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a bridge for the bridge.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you go to this website, there's just countless videos of trucks just coming out the other side as convertibles.
They should just they should take those screen caps and have a series of pictures leading up to the bridge.
Just a big billboard.
Put a big old TV screen above the thing. Constantly playing the videos.
Turn back now. We mean it.
So that's all the stories I had. Anybody have any good semi stories?
Well, on the subject of semis crashing into supports on bridges.
Yeah.
Was one of you guys with me when we were driving to Sacramento?
I was with you.
I think it was me.
Oh, maybe it was both of us. Oh, yeah, because we were going over to see Anna in California.
I wasn't there.
Yeah, we were driving over to California, and we drove by what looked like just the trailer for a semi-truck.
Yeah.
Well, it was like super early in the morning, if I remember right.
It was to get to Sacramento, like it used to be we didn't have anything here in Nevada, so we had to go to Sacramento or any place else to go to like Best Buy. So to get there by open, you'd have to leave here at like 6.
Yeah.
But we're driving past and the traffic is practically stopped on this freeway, and it's the only way to get to where we're going. So you just coast, get up to this overpass, and there's just a semi truck trailer on the side of the road, or what looked like it, until we got right up on the accident, The guy rammed into the bridge, probably going pretty fast, I think.
Yeah.
Well, seeing as how like the bridge support was like all the way back to the trailer.
Yeah. I mean, basically what it looked like is someone parked a trailer up against a bridge support and then spray painted 20 feet in every direction black.
Yeah, it was just dark black everywhere.
Yeah.
And there was maybe a foot of crunched metal where the cab was.
Yeah.
Pretty horrific.
I did have one experience where we were going through an area where there was a lot of road construction, and I was, you know, we were just sort of inching along because there's traffic all the time around Chicago. A semi just decided that it wanted to be where I was. Ooh. And there was nowhere for me to be. So I had to drive into the cones because I was in the middle of the semi. And I did not get squished, which was good, but I did lose a mirror.
Yeah.
Hit a road cone and popped right out.
If anybody's listening to this have ever made the drive from northern Nevada to Vegas, you know that it's long stretches of nothing.
Yeah.
Punctuated by what look like shanty towns and brothels that you don't know where they got the women for.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, where do they come from? Out in the middle of nowhere.
But my wife had, like, we got married and she goes, yeah, you know, I've never been to Las Vegas. I was like, we're going to solve that. So we take the drive down to Vegas. And on the way there, about halfway there, there's a semi approaching us. And I guess he was going too slow for the semi behind him.
Oh.
Because the semi behind him started trying to pass him.
Yeah.
And it's only a 2-lane highway. He underestimated the speed he could go, I guess, because we had to duck off. I quickly had to hit my brakes and go to the side of the road because as they approached me, they were even.
Yeah.
Coming at me like a wall of horrifying steel. Speaking of the semis being tipped over by wind, when I was a kid, we used to go out to this casino called Boomtown. It had the biggest arcade. It had a motion theater.
The best arcade.
It had a mini golf. It was the best. I went out there for a birthday, and the winds were like 60 to 80 miles per hour for gusts.
Yeah.
And we went inside, and there was all these trucks like lined up, parked there because, I don't know, they were staying there or they're just there to gamble. We came back out, and at least three of them were on their sides.
Oh, man. Well, if nobody has any more personal stories, then we'll move on to what are your morals worth? I'm just basically going to see how close you get to this figure. What do you think the mean salary is for a semi-truck driver? And would you be willing to do this job for a year?
I'm pretty sure they get paid well.
Well, the guy who delivered to Barnes & Noble was never happy with his salary.
Well, who's ever happy with their salary?
I'm pretty happy with mine.
But you could make more.
Right now.
I avoid driving whenever possible.
Yeah.
And when I think of semis, I don't think of like the easy, well, what I would assume is the easy part where they're like out on the open freeway with plenty of room. Like they have to get into Seattle. Yeah. I see them on the Seattle streets. I can't even imagine trying to get through these little 1.5 lane roads to deliver things in downtown Seattle. It'd just be pure misery. And our hills.
$65,000.
Okay.
And would you do it?
For I do like driving, but I have the same concerns as went, like out on the open road. I just listen to podcasts and you know, have
like
fun.
I have no problem with long driving and like being alone on the road for a long time. It's the fact that it's such a big vehicle that really deters me.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the average distance that truckers drive in a year is 125,000 miles. Which boils down to about 2,500 miles a week, or in a 5-day week, 500 miles a day.
My ass would hurt so bad. I'm going to pass. I like driving. If it became my job, it would murder my ass.
I would do that, like, given the opportunity. I could see doing that for a while.
And what's your guess for income?
I really have no idea. You said 65?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with 50.
Yeah, I also think that it's probably around 50. I mean, I hope it's higher because that sounds like hard, hard work. And no, you could not pay. You could triple my guess and I still wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, the answer is the mean salary for truck drivers is just a hair under $45,000. And knowing that number, no thanks.
It's more than I make right now, but I have to drive so much.
Yeah.
I'd get a lot of books done.
That's true. All right. Well, I think that's all we've got for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at AcidPopPodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.